Well, last week we read our passage, and I want to, as we dig into this week's text, I want to go back and read part of last week so that we get the context, because as you remember, context is king. So we will begin reading in verse 31 of Mark chapter 8. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So as we read last week, Jesus explains to his disciples that he's not going to come in the way that they expect the Messiah to come. They expected the Messiah to come and be a conqueror, to be this mighty political hero who is going to come up and establish the kingdom of David back for Israel, and that Israel's enemies would be defeated. Instead of this conquering Messiah idea, Jesus explains to them that the Messiah is actually here to suffer and to die. And Peter wants no talk of this suffering. He doesn't want anything to do with a suffering Messiah, because that doesn't fit into what his preconceived idea of what Jesus was going to be. So instead, he says, "No, Jesus, you're wrong." And he tells Jesus as much. He reprimands him. And Jesus goes back and says, "Get away from me, Satan." Because at that point, Satan and Peter aligned in their desires for Jesus to not go to the cross. Peter is seeing this from only a human perspective and is not seeing this in the way that God has sees it. Because in God's intention was, of course, not to just make a kingdom for the Jews, but to make the kingdom of God come alive on earth for both Jews and Gentiles, for all people, men and women, children, young and old, to come together under the banner of Christ. And so Jesus is telling them this and saying, no, the Messiah is going to have to suffer and die. But then he says in our new text this week, not only is the Messiah going to suffer and die, but as followers of the Messiah, you may also have to suffer and die. So it's kind of this quote that I found was interesting. It was from the Christian Sinisher newspaper, which isn't around anymore, but it says, "Some folks take up religion as a kind of insurance against hell and then are not willing to pay the premiums." Following Christ is not necessarily an easy road. There are trials following Christ. And if you follow Christ, Jesus says, then you need to take up your cross and follow. So if you do suffer for Christ as a follower of Christ, then Jesus says rewards await you. If, on the other hand, you're ashamed of Jesus, then Jesus will be ashamed of you when he comes back in glory with his Father. So what does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? You know, in other passages that we are much more excited about, really, Jesus says things like, "My burden is light. Come to me who are weary and tired, because I will give you rest." But here Jesus is saying, take up your cross. It's something quite different. So let's see, what is the cross that Jesus is going to carry? Well, of course, the cross is where Jesus is going to suffer and die for our sins. Jesus was betrayed by his friend. He was abandoned by the rest of his friends. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was tortured. He was crucified. He was spit on. And in all these ways, all those things that Jesus suffered, he says, be ready because you may suffer the same fate as a follower of me. As a follower of Christ, you may experience mocking, betrayal, abandonment, beating, torture, crucifixion, death, persecution. Just because you're a follower of Jesus, just because you say that you want to follow Christ, because you are trying to do the right thing, you may face this persecution. Because Jesus' way is not the way of the world. Jesus' way is focusing on others, while the world is saying, focus on numero uno, who is yourself. But Jesus says, don't focus on yourself, focus on others. And when we put others first, that kind of bucks the system. And it can put a target on our back. Other people don't like it when people are countercultural and going against the norms. They don't like it when people stand up for God's truths. John Wesley said, anything that cools my love for Christ is the world. And often we need to remember that those things that are so tempting for us in the world are really things that go against Jesus and against the way that he has called us to live. And when we're going countercultural, when we're going against the way the world is teaching and proclaiming and proselytizing that we need to live, we put a target on our back in some cases. Now, in the comfort of our American lives, we face very little danger of being killed for our faith. We live in a mostly free society. We're free to worship. We're free to practice what religion that we want and free to choose how we practice that. But it doesn't mean that we're off the hook when it comes to suffering. When we take a public stand, often there is backlash, and Jesus is preparing us for these kinds of things. When we choose to follow Christ, we choose the way of the cross, we choose the narrow road, and we choose the road that could ultimately lead to physical death. And if you're wondering if you're doing this, think about this quote. If you are on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Many places around the world do not have the same luxury that we have of freedom. And there are men, women, and children facing real threats of death and imprisonment just for following Jesus. This U.S. State Department and the Office of International Religious Freedom classifies countries as countries of particular concern. And I want to tell you what a country of particular concern is. It's a designation by the Secretary of State of a nation engaged in severe violations of religious freedom under the International Religious Freedom Act, the IRFA. The IRFA requires an annual review of the status of religious freedom worldwide and the designation of countries that have engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom during the reporting period. The IRFA defines particularly severe violations of religious freedom as systematic, ongoing, egregious violations of religious freedoms, including violations such as torture, degrading treatment or punishment, prolonged detention without charges, abduction or clandestine detention, or other flagrant denial of the right to life, liberty, or the security of persons. Guys, this stuff is going on in the world around us right now. And the Secretary of State designated Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan as these countries that are violating religious freedom. It's happening right now. It's happening in the world around us. And we're comforted in our American bubble here of freedom. But these things, there are Christians facing these real things all around the world. I want to share with you a short video from Voice on the Martyrs about a man who is living in North Korea. one of the places listed on this list of countries that is not safe for people trying to follow a religion. It also involves a man who lives in China who's helping him in this pursuit of Jesus. So I'm going to show you that video now.
In the prison school, 우린 선교사들은 모두 승량이
되는 거예요. In primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists.
나중엔 잘해도
They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver.
승량이 되라고 배웠습니다. 우리 마을에는 먹을 것도 없고
There was no food and no work in my village.
다른 사람처럼 삼손입니다.
Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China.
매개 팔려고 버섯을 땄는데
I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all.
한 사람을 만났습니다.
But in the mountains, I met a man.
그의 팔 거면 내가 팔아주겠지.
그 사람이 내가 땄 버섯을 팔아준다고 말했죠.
I can sell those for you.
你好.
And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han.
再见.
Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this. For he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korean. It is because I am a Christian, he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver?
하나님은 살아계셔. 모든
One day, Pastor Han said to me, God is real. There is hope for every person. Could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. Journalists will write about you, and no one will ever dare ask where you have gone.
하루는
One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. Why would you bring that here? She cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested. And not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope.
그러고 나서
And then I share the word of God with my best friend.
너도 이 책 꾸며 날 거야.
저는
It was very dangerous for me to share.
다시는 연락하지 말라.
우리 모두한테 좋은 소식이야.
It was very dangerous for him to listen. 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work for killing a terrorist missionary in Chiang Mai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened.
그들이
Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 한 목사를 만났다는 것을 알아냈을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 방역 떠는 소리.
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life, but he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans.
북한 주민들에게
And despite the ever-present danger. Many of us will continue to share the message that God is real.
우리들은 하나님이 살아계신다는 사실을 계속해서 다른 사람들에게 말.
We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile, just like it was for Pastor Han.
한 목사님이 그러셨던 것처럼 말입니다.
Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? When we think about what we face, what our crosses are compared to what the crosses are of people around the world. If we were meeting in person today, I'd ask you to turn to someone near you and talk a little bit about what we had just watched, what we just watched and what we just learned about Pastor Han. But since we're not, we're going to do it all together and just debrief a little bit. So I think it's important that we interact with this material as opposed to just listening to it or watching a video about it. So if you're willing to participate, unmute your mic and share with us or type in the chat if you want, and I'll just read what's typed in the chat. The first question is, what's your initial reaction to hearing and seeing information like this?
It makes me incredibly sad that that kind of thing is still going on. It makes me glad that I have the freedom here in the United States to worship how I want to. But, you know, to have somebody get 1,000 people to come to Christianity and then have been murdered, it's tragic.
The first reaction is anger that could still happen. But when you see some things that are happening in this country, you wonder if that is an option that is being prepared for at this time.
My first reaction was I want to pray for the Christians in North Korea.
It's really hard for us to imagine and understand what countries like that, or why countries like that do those sorts of things, because we have never experienced it. And to see that is both disturbing and encouraging. Disturbing that governments and societies would act that way toward faith of any sort, and hope that people can still break through those bonds of tyranny and oppression and find faith in Jesus.
My first reaction was understanding more my parents' decision while we lived in Saudi Arabia not to openly practice Christianity for fear of similar retribution. They waited until we were in a predominantly Christian household.
Now, the people in those countries that are closed to Christianity are still called by Christ the same way that we're called to share Jesus with other people and to proclaim the gospel and Jesus' love. And we're called to do that as well, but oftentimes we don't. Why don't you think people in our culture don't share their faith?
Getting judged by non-Christians?
Similar, I guess. Part of it is that people, I guess, assume if you're talking that you're fanatical, which is part of our culture. I think it's either you're a Christian and you know we're going to try to force people to believe the same way we do. And I honestly think part of that is because of groups of Christians that also say we want our right to our religion, but then are feel free to persecute people of other religions, and so we aren't seen as a loving religion. We're seen as a judgmental religion.
Yeah, there's lots of reasons why we're afraid to share our faith or why we don't share our faith. And you got to wonder, for those people in those restricted countries that are sharing their faith with the threat of violence and torture and confinement camps, and what would they think about our reasons for not doing it? I mean, when you put it in perspective, our reasons for not sharing our faith compared to their reasons for not sharing their faith, yet they're doing it. That convicts me. I don't know if it convicts you, but that convicts me. You know, what would happen if the American church faced persecution like is faced around the world? What would happen in America if we suddenly lost our freedom and were living in a country where we were no longer allowed to worship God? How many of those of us in the church would continue to stay in the church in spite of that? You know, I don't think we can really answer that until we're in the situation, but it's important for us to think about, because that reality could happen at any time, really. That reality could change, times could change. But these people are facing life and death situations and are willing to share their faith. And we face situations where we might feel uncomfortable or might get labeled a certain way, and we don't share our faith because of those things. And so it convicts me, and I think it convicts more than just me, about what we really are prioritizing when it comes to sharing our faith. When we come to these words of Jesus, we need to be willing to suffer and die and face persecution in order to follow Christ. And it means something different in each of our contexts. And watching videos like this and hearing stories like this convict me that probably I'm not doing enough. Do you feel the same way, that maybe we're not doing enough?
I feel the same way too.
And if we're not doing enough, if we feel like we're not doing enough, then what are we going to do about it? How are we going to change our behavior? How are we going to modify what we're doing so that we are doing what we've been called to do? How can we pick up our cross and follow Christ in the coming days and weeks and months ahead? So I want you to think about this for a moment. What is one concrete thing you could do this week to follow Christ more, to improve your life or the life of someone near you? What's one concrete thing that you could do this week to demonstrate your commitment to Christ? Maybe it's sharing with a coworker. Maybe it's showing love to a family member or a friend. I mean, the possibilities are endless. But think about one concrete thing you could do this week. An action you could take to show that you're following Christ and to demonstrate that you're following Christ no matter the cost. Following Christ has many benefits, eternal benefits, but following Christ doesn't mean that life is cupcakes, sprinkles, and rainbows. Jesus tells us that he's going to be there, but there's going to be trouble, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be trials. And the question is, how are you going to respond to those? Are you going to abandon Christ when things get tough, or are you going to pick up your cross? Following Jesus is a decision that each of us have to make on our own. And if you've never made that decision to follow Christ, I pray that you would talk to me, chat with me, or call me, text me, whatever, so that we can get together and talk about the decision that you need to make to follow Christ. It's a decision that each one of us has to make at some point in our lives to choose to follow Christ. And we encourage you to do that as a member here at Hayes Christian Church. Don't let another day go by without choosing to follow Christ. For those of us already following Christ, who've already made that decision, I pose the question again, what are you going to do this week to demonstrate your commitment to following Christ? What action will you take this week to demonstrate your commitment to Christ?
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.